We're reading Daniel chapter 10, and I'm reading from the English Standard Version. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a word was revealed to Daniel, who was named Belteshazzar. And the word was true, and it was a great conflict. And he understood the world, and he had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 weeks. I ate no delicacies, no meat or wine entered my mouth, nor did I anoint myself for a full 3 weeks. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a man clothed in linen, with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz around his waist. His body was like beryl, and his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and the sound of his words like the sound of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great trembling fell upon them, and they fled to hide themselves. So I was left alone, and I saw this great vision, and no strength was left in me. My radiant appearance was fearfully changed, and I retained no strength. Then I heard the sound of his words, and as I heard the sound of his words, I fell on my face in a deep sleep with my face to the ground. And behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly loved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for now I have been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I was left there with the kings of Persia, and came to make you understand what is to happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision is for the days yet to come. When he had spoken to me according to these words, I turned my face towards the ground and was mute. And behold, one in the likeness of the children of man touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke. I said to him who stood before me, O my Lord, by reason of the vision, pains have come upon me, and I retain no strength. How can my Lord's servant talk with my Lord? From now no strength remains in me, and no breath is left in me. Having the appearance of a man touched me and strengthened me, and he said, O man greatly loved, fear not, peace be with you, be strong and of good courage. And as he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. And he said, Do you know why I have come to you? But now I will return to the fight against the prince of Persia, and when I go out, behold, the prince of Greece will come. But I will tell you what is inscribed in the book of the truth. There is none who contends by my side against these except Michael, your prince.
Well, good morning, everyone. Last morning of camp, and we're coming to the end of our studies in Daniel. I recognise that I really pushed you guys a bit last night with what is a big chapter, and so I'm going to go a little bit easy this morning, and we're just going to look at this chapter 10 of Daniel. Let's just pray before we get into God's word. Lord, I've been saying this all week, but you are a wonderfully good communicator. You love to speak to your people, and you want us to listen, but we're not very good listeners. And maybe even now, there's lots of things going through our mind as we come to the end of the camp. We're thinking about leaving, and maybe some of the things that lie ahead for us. Lord, we just want to pray this morning that you would help us to, by your Spirit, just to calm and bring peace to our minds and our hearts so that we can just focus for a few minutes on what you want to say to us. And Lord, we believe that you've got something to say to us from your word, from this chapter. And so we commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Daniel chapter 10, 11 and 12 is the final vision of the book of Daniel. But even though the vision itself doesn't start until chapter 11, the preparation for the vision actually begins in chapter 10. God is getting Daniel ready for what he's about to see. And it reminds me of the first moon landing and walk, in which astronauts had to practice and prepare for many things that they would need to use when the mission began. And NASA went to extraordinary, NASA went to extraordinary lengths to simulate and to help the astronauts to prepare for what they would feel and what they would experience, what they would see when they arrived on the land, on the moon, sorry. They did all kinds of crazy things. I don't know what they're trying to do in this scene, but they were trying to help the astronauts to experience what gravity on the moon, 1/5 of the gravitational force of Earth would feel like. Every moonwalk that they practiced, that they were going to do on the mission, was practiced right down to the very details, making sure that they knew how to use the equipment. Making sure that that if anything went wrong, there was always a plan. Even the landings were simulated multiple times, many, many times, getting out of the module, getting onto the rafts, all in preparation for when the moment would come. And in a way, I think that Daniel chapter 10 is God preparing Daniel and preparing God's people for what God is about to reveal in this last vision. God is strengthening Daniel. As Daniel sees the vision, he is overwhelmed with terror with what he sees. But I think that what God is doing in chapter 10 is God is helping Daniel. He's teaching Daniel important truths that Daniel and later on God's people are going to need in order to survive. And I want to suggest to you this morning that the lessons that God taught Daniel in chapter 10 are relevant for us this morning. We need to learn these lessons. So we're going to look at three specific ways in which God strengthened Daniel. And here is the first one. Let me put it up on the screen. The first way in which God strengthened Daniel was to teach him that prayer is much, much more important than what we think. I want you to notice in the story here that it says in verse 2 that at that time I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. What is Daniel mourning about? Well, I would suggest to you that at around about the third year of the king of Cyrus, reports are starting to come back from Jerusalem, from God's people, and Daniel is beginning to hear what's happening on the ground. And God's people are facing incredible hostility, and the work of rebuilding is grinding to a halt. There are reports of persecution, and I think that here in Daniel chapter 10, Daniel, out of his great love for the people of God, has gone into a period of time of intense prayer, of mourning, and of fasting. Verse 3, I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotion at all until the 3 weeks were over. So here is Daniel. He's hearing bad things coming back, bad news coming back from Jerusalem. He has gone to God, committed himself to a time of prayer, of intense prayer and fasting, and he's gone before God to seek God's face, to say, God, what is going on? What are you doing here? What is the way ahead? Now, what I love in these verses is that down in verse 12, and this is where I really want to just to bring your attention to this morning. It says, the messenger comes to Daniel. So he's been praying, and he's been praying for 3 weeks. And then it says here in verse 12 that the messenger continued and said, Daniel, do not be afraid. And this is where I want you to focus on. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, read it with me, please. Your words were heard. Isn't that fantastic? It wasn't that Daniel had to pray for 3 weeks and for the first 2 weeks God was too busy to listen, and it was only in week three after Daniel was just persevering that God decided, oh well, I better listen. That's not what's going on at all. The word says that the very moment from the first day, Daniel, that you set your heart, set your mind to seek my face, and you began to pray and you began to humble yourselves, the words on the very first day that you began to pray, your words were heard, and I have come to respond to them. Let's be honest this morning. And I'll be honest with you that prayer is mostly, it's the last thing we think of doing, isn't it? You know, we'll try everything. We'll pool all our resources together. We'll put plans in place. We'll try new strategies and nothing works. And eventually somebody in the room will say, hey, maybe we should pray. And then we start praying, and we've forgotten once again that prayer is much, much more important. It is much, much more effective than what we thought. It says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. What does Ephesians say? That when you pray, God is able to do incredibly more than what you ask for or even possibly imagine. And yet what do? We continue to forget. We continue to forget the importance of prayer. And I want you to notice here in verse 12 that the moment that Daniel set his heart to gain understanding and began to pray, his words were heard. But in response to those words, God sent a messenger. The heavens, they started opening up. God starts sending his messengers. Things are starting to happen. And I want to encourage you this morning, on our last morning here at camp, as you head back into a new year, I want to remind you that prayer is much, much more important than what you thought. And if we could take one thing out of this camp that would maybe radically change our lives, it would be to be more intentional about praying and about seeking the Lord. Isn't it incredible to think as we go through this, just these couple of verses, to think that at the very moment that Daniel began to pray, the answer was already being formulated in heaven. Are you encouraged by that? Maybe you've been praying for something, you've been praying for someone, there's an issue that you have been really struggling with, you've been praying for it, you haven't seen the answer yet, but I want to remind you that things have already started happening. Prayer is much, much more important than what we think. Here's the second lesson. To be faithful is much harder than what we thought. I want you to notice in the chapter that in verse 13 that the answer has been formulated in heaven. There is now a messenger coming. But in verse 13, we read of this mysterious prince of Persia, the prince of the Persian kingdom, who resisted me 21 days. And then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now, let's be honest. We can't get our heads around everything that's going on in these verses, but at least let's go back to the basics and let's acknowledge that there is a spiritual dimension, a spiritual world that, okay, we don't know a lot about, but it's very real. And what happens in that spiritual dimension, in that spiritual realm, impacts our daily life. Those who have, particularly those, I think, who have gone and been missionaries, and particularly gone into parts of the world where there is little or no gospel, will really understand, you should go and sit down with some of them and ask them a few questions of what that's like. It says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. There is a spiritual realm. We don't see it, but it's real. It's as real as the physical one. And what takes place in that spiritual realm impacts what happens here on planet Earth. A number of years ago, the church that Caroline and I were attending put on a gospel outreach. It was at Easter. And my job for the day was to be the MC and to just to welcome people and to make sure that the program after the through the afternoon was rolling well. And I can still remember as clear as anything the events of that day. About 2 or 3 hours leading out, I had the only way I can describe it is those of you who remember the old style analog TVs, remember when they don't tune properly, you got all that blur on the screen, and every now and again the image would flicker and then it would disappear. And for the whole afternoon, it started about 2 or 3 hours before the event, for the whole afternoon I could not focus, I could not concentrate. Driving to where the event was going to take place, I had to pull over to the side of the road, and I didn't know what to do. It was that bad. I can't remember anything of the event. I don't know what I said that afternoon. I hope it was okay, because I can't remember it. 15 minutes after the event finished, clarity. Absolute clarity. And so I later sat down with a friend and we started talking, and he just said, listen, he said, you've got to remember that there's a whole spiritual world out there. There's a spiritual realm. And that spiritual realm is continually, if you look at what the verse says here, it is resisting the work of God. So when that friend that you've been praying for years and years, you've explained the gospel, the good news of Jesus to him or her multiple times, and you've been as clear as you possibly can, but it doesn't seem to be sinking in, just remember that there is a spiritual realm. And because there is a spiritual realm, make sure that you remember to pray. That's the lesson. That is what God is teaching Daniel. Daniel, remember prayer. Daniel, remember there is a spiritual realm. The good thing about the spiritual realm is that God is active in that realm too. Amen? Yeah, it's not just the evil one. It's God. And so it says at the end of verse 13 that Michael, so there is this fierce battle going on, 21 days. We don't fully understand what's going on here. But what does God do? God sent Michael, one of the chief princes, and he came to help me. Isn't that beautiful? So God sends another one of his angels, another part of his incredible army, his arsenal of spiritual power. It's not just the evil one who operates in the spiritual world, in the spiritual realm. Our God, he's powerful and he's strong. Here's the third lesson. The truth is going to be much, much more important than what we think. I want you to notice, whenever you read through a passage like this, look for themes. Look for things that reoccur through the passage. I want to show you a theme that runs through Daniel chapter 10. And it starts in verse 8. So I was left alone gazing at this great vision. And this is what I want you to really focus on. It says, I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale. And I was helpless. And then it says in verse 9 that I fell into a deep sleep and my face was to the ground. Then it says in verse 10 that a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And then at the end of verse 11, the messenger says, the messenger speaks to Daniel, and then it says at the end of verse 11, and when he had spoken these words to me, I stood up trembling. And then it says in verse 16, then one who looked like a man touched my lips, and I opened my mouth and began to speak. And I said to the one standing before me, I am overcome with anguish because of the vision, my Lord, and I feel very weak. Verse 17, how can I, your servant, talk with you, my Lord? My strength is gone and I can hardly breathe. You notice the theme that's running all the way through the chapter? What word would you put over that? Come on, it's not rocket science. Sorry? Weakness. Weakness. There is a theme of weakness. Daniel is very weak. It starts with him lying on the ground. Then in verse 10, a hand is laid on him, and now he's standing on his hands and knees. And then the messenger speaks to him, and he manages to get onto his feet, but his knees are trembling. And all through this vision, Daniel is overcome. Daniel is weak. But look what it says in verse 4. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris, I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen with a belt of fine gold around his waist. His body was like topaz, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice sounded like the sound of a multitude. Can you see what's going on? Everything that Daniel is not, God, or this messenger of God, is. Daniel can barely stand on his own feet, but here in verses 4 to 6, here is the messenger from God, or a vision of God himself. And everything that Daniel is not, the one who stands beside the great river is. And I think the lesson here is that as we venture out into our world, there will be moments, many moments, when we will be overcome, overwhelmed. Our strength will run out. We will be weak. We will barely be able to stand on our own two feet. And at that moment, the truth of who God is becomes of absolute supreme importance. Because even though I am weak and I can barely stand on my own two feet, I have a God who is standing. I have a God who's, whenever he speaks, his voice is like the sound of a multitude. Our God is able. Our God is strong. And so that so throughout the year, as we venture into a new year, as Daniel looked towards the future and as the people of God faced incredible opposition, God wanted to remind them of these three things. Always remember, prayer is much more important than what we think. Always remember that being faithful is going to be much more complicated than what we think. And always remember that the truth of who God is and the truth of who we are in Jesus is always much more important than what we think as well. I want to finish this morning just with reading two little verses in chapter 12, and I want to finish with this word of encouragement. In chapter 12, verse 9, God says to Daniel, "Daniel, go your way, because the words are rolled up and sealed until the time of the end." And in verse 11, we have another one of these annoying mysteries in Daniel. "From the time that the daily sacrifice is abolished and the abomination that causes desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. Blessed is the one who waits for and reaches the end of the 1,335 days. I have to tell you that reading multiple commentaries and looking at what different scholars have said about these verses, the consensus is that nobody's got a clue. Nobody knows what these numbers represent. Well, what does 1,290 mean? Nobody knows. But there is one little detail here, and maybe we shouldn't overlook the simple things. The second number, what is it to the first number? What is it? It's bigger. It's a bigger number. Somebody just did the maths. Well, yeah, praise the Lord. Good for you. I'm really simple. It's just a bigger number. But I want you to notice something, that the people who have kept plugging away, the people who have kept trusting in God and have punched through the 1,290 days are the ones who are blessed. Isn't that encouraging? Keep persevering. This is what God is saying to Daniel. Keep trusting in me. Don't give up. Don't give up before the 1,290 days. Daniel, I want you to persevere. I want you to keep trusting me. I want you to have faith in my promises. I want you to become a 1335 person. So I want to read you a little story to conclude that I hope will bring you some encouragement. The story is, it's about a dog in St. Louis, Missouri. This dog was given the name of Quinton. He's 1 year old. And Quinton was ushered into the city gas chambers. For those who are dog lovers, I apologize, but it's a good story. Quinton was ushered into the city gas chambers to be euthanized with his fellow unwanted, unclaimed canine associates. The council is rounding up all the stray dogs of the city. They put them in the gas chambers on Friday afternoon. Monday morning, the death chamber's doors were thrown open, and amongst that ghastly scene of death, there stood, with tail and tongue wagging, Quinton. The animal control supervisor said she'd never seen such a survivor, and she didn't have the heart to slam the door shut again. In her view, the 30-pound Quinton had earned the right to live. "These things," says the author, "are a parable, we might say. If you are a Jesus disciple, you are simply called to keep on going. to keep slogging on in your worship of Christ, to keep on refusing to bow down to the latest idol. Who knows what hatred and damage may fall on you, what threats or enticements may be made to you. But God is going to have a 1335 people. After evil does its worst, the Church of Jesus will be there, Quinton-like, standing on their own two feet. Praise the Lord. We've got a good God. Let's pray. Lord, over the last couple of days, we have learnt that you are the God who smashes proud kings. You are the God who saves the faithful who trust in you. You are the God who has a sovereign knowledge of the future. And you are the God who always makes sure that your people arrive home. And we have an inkling that as we leave, we will face trials, hatred, difficulty. We will be faced with enticements, with temptations. But Lord, if there's one thing that's coming out of this book, it is an encouragement to plod along and to become a 1335 people. A people who don't give up. A people who, after the 1290 days have passed and everything has been thrown against us, we're still standing. God, that is only possible because you're a sovereign, awesome God. It is only possible because you are the God who operates in the spiritual realm that we don't understand, we don't see. You're the God who answers prayer. The moment we pray, our answers, you are responding to our answers. You are the God who, when we are weak, you are strong. Thank you so much. Oh, we're facing difficult days ahead. But Lord, we are full of optimism. The story's going to end really well. It's going to be a great finish. God's people are going to make it home to the city of God. Lord, we praise you. Help us to be a 1335 people who don't give up, who push through, who punch through. And when everything has been thrown at us, we pray that we might find ourselves still standing. We give you thanks, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.